Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle.
This episode of Like-Minded Friends is brought to you by ShipStation. Do you sell online? eBay, Amazon, Magento? Then you need ShipStation. It's the fast and easiest way to manage and dispatch your orders from one place. Whether you're using eBay, Amazon, Shopify, or over 60 other popular selling channels, ShipStation brings all of your orders together in one place, making them really easy to manage from any device, including a mobile phone. And now you can try ShipStation for free for 30 days, plus get a special bonus when you use the promotion code LMF for like-minded friends. You can use ShipStation to compare rates from top couriers, including Royal Mail, FedEx, DHL and UPS. And whether you have one or 100 orders, ShipStation makes it easy to batch and print labels so you can get your orders out quickly and keep your customers happy. No wonder ShipStation is such a popular choice of online sellers across the UK. So that's ShipStation.com and then enter the promotion code LMF. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen.
One of the things I thought might be interesting to talk about today, Suze, is because we had such a nice time talking the other day about lots of lovely things to celebrate and be hashtag thankful for.
Hashtag blessed.
And then it occurred to me, I thought maybe it's useful for our listeners. Sometimes I get a bit of negativity on Twitter at things, and
right. It
really brings me down, I've realised. Like, it only takes, like, I know you're not supposed to have any feelings
yeah.
in this game, but yeah, and like,
I'm
on
sorry
Twitter,
that I sent those tweets.
So I just wanted to start off by saying, can you stop sending me those messages, Susie?
It's really upsetting.
As you know, a lot of the time, I do think people who post negatively on Twitter are the same people who in the old days would have turned up at a hanging.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I think it's important to acknowledge that. But sometimes they really get you.
Oh, Tom, I hear you. I wish that I could. You know, people are like, oh, water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Don't take any notice. Why would you care? They're just wankers behind keyboards. But then I think, well, I'm a wanker behind a keyboard.
Yeah,
too.
Like, I don't behave like that.
Like, it's. So I did a TV thing called Climax.
Clang. No, it was wonderful.
So a guy called Tom Crane, who is a brilliant writer. He's written on loads of things, and he's also one of my friends. He's a lovely boy. He writes this series for BBC Three called Climaxed, and it's about sort of the 5 minutes after you've had sex with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Really funny, loads of stuff. So I have done one episode. I think there's probably about 14 or 15 episodes out there in the world now.
BBC Three.
The BBC Three stuff, so you can get them all on YouTube and stuff. And I did the stupid thing, Tom. I looked in the comments section.
I know. But that's what I mean. Like, people go, don't look at them, they're idiots, they're just jealous. And that is true. That is true. We know that. But I can relate to being upset by it.
It was like, so a lot of it was just like sort of, so my episode was Me with a Girl.
Sure.
Post-coital. And like...
Post-coital, what does that mean? After contraception?
After sex.
What is that? Oh, the coil.
Yeah, there's no coil.
That was one of those ones I got really confused about during sex education at school. Anyway,
so I mean, you couldn't have less to do with it.
I mean, it's literally nothing to do with me.
It's literally nothing to do with you. You don't need to worry about it.
It sometimes reminded me of an electromagnet.
Sure.
Not something to do with a spiral. Anyway, continue, Susie.
So, obviously, there would be a collection of things that say, this is shit, this isn't funny, why is this on TV?
Oh.
I don't like gay people, fine. But fine. The amount of people, like, I'm talking like 70 comments.
Really?
Of people being like, this is disgusting.
Where was this, on YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube, and then on the, like, BBC Three posted it on their Facebook page.
What, and then people put things
and
there?
Just, people were awful, like really horrible, like there was other stuff like, this is not what I pay my license fee for.
Oh my god, again,
the BBC trying to be liberal, the BBC trying to force this sort of stuff down our throat. They've done like 14 episodes. There is one gay episode. I don't think the BBC can
hilarious.
Be if anything there should be more.
Yeah,
you know, not to say that Tom should have
all of it
but it was just like,
yeah,
you know, this is disgusting. I can't believe that my license fee money is going on this sort of propaganda. I mean,
do people still say things like that?
Yeah, and I was just like, I get a bit of homophobia, sure. Sure, I get a bit of it on stage, I get a bit of it on Twitter and stuff. But I was just like, it was just sort of that reminder of like, oh, some people really hate me for something I can't control.
It's, yeah, that sort of thing is really, really weird. And it's very,
like,
it's
my girlfriend was with me and she was like, babe, minimize. I don't know why you're reading these.
That's it, isn't it?
And
that's what
like,
it comes down to.
I don't know why either. But then it became like a compulsion. Like, I wanted to read all of them.
We've all done it.
And even Ben, the director, sort of like, he was like, please watch this. I'm really proud of it. I loved making it with Susie. And it was with Camille Yuchan, who is a fantastic comedy actress who's also part of a brilliant sketch group called The Birthday Girls. And I just could not get over the amount of people that just were, like, disgusted because we were lying in bed together.
So interesting, isn't it? I've got along with a lot of feelings.
Like,
but, yeah.
It's a suggestion of sex, but there's nothing, like, I'm wearing a crop top, she's wearing a dress, like, there's...
Yeah, it's very, not, like, it's, yeah.
It's, like, it's not really, really, really crude.
It's in no way
in your
graphic.
Face. Yeah, graphic. At all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the main bulk of it is the fact that there's an argument after we sleep together because we're exes.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we were in that thing where we keep sleeping together and neither of us are going to get over each other while we're doing
it. It's great. It's really great.
It's
a really interesting approach to that thing, which actually I've not seen that represented that much in drama.
It was sort
in
of
any
a really
sort of
fun thing
script.
To do, and it was just such
it's really
a
brilliant.
Pity.
It's really, really interesting. But that's the thing, though. That's why it's so important to, I think, A, acknowledge it if something like that makes you feel like that, but B, kind of take a step back and go, actually, that isn't, we mustn't allow those people to condition how we perceive our own
of
work.
Of course.
Or what some, or, you know, and all the things that go with that.
And I know you're like, you know, oh, just ignore it, you know, sticks and stones. And you go, yeah, I do get that. But, like, no one's telling you that they think that you're the reason that, like, this is the reason this country's going to the dogs.
No, God.
Because we're allowing this sort of thing on television. And you oh, God, really?
But you also, like, wish you could meet those people. Do you ever think that? Like,
yeah.
I want to meet them and be like, let's have a conversation, because I don't, I mean...
Like, and I'm sure I wouldn't like them. And I'm sure, I'd be like, what have I done? Why? And I think it's that idea that people think that sexuality is a choice, or they think that we're doing it for attention, or whatever they think.
Part of me does start thinking, like... Sorry, go on.
Oh, I just don't understand where that level of just hatefulness comes from.
But I do sometimes think, and I know it's like the cliched response, it's like, it's because they're gay. But I do think they are...
They're harboring a lot of emotions around it.
Yeah. I think it's something about, like, people who... Oh, these people are just being themselves and working on being happy with that, as we all, I think, are in one way or another. Or, you know, hopefully are happy with that.
Yeah.
And that's really affronting to people, because, like, I mean, I should be that, but I can't be.
Well, it's interesting, because I... So I saw Dave Chappelle.
Oh, yes.
At the Up the Creek Comedy Club. So there's a show there called Sunday Special, which if you live near Greenwich, you should absolutely go to. It is
it's lovely
such
there.
A great gig. our friend Will runs it, and it's always really great acts on a Sunday night. It's always done by about 10, 10:30, isn't it? And it's like a really nice way to end
lovely
your
audience come down.
Nice way to end your week. And like in the last sort of few times I've done it, there's been like Nish Kumar, Sarah Pascoe, James Acaster, you, me, like Dane, Baptiste, like always
lovely.
Really fun acts and brilliant people. And they always have like two spots of newbies who are like new comics that you probably wouldn't have heard of doing 10 minutes each. And it's really
it's a fun place to see
them do.
Sunday nights there.
Yeah, Sunday nights there are super. So we moved the show to the afternoon because Dave Chappelle wanted to try some stuff in the evening. Fine. And so me and...
Okay, Dave, we'll do it.
Sure. So me and the rest of the bill, so that was Nish, Ed Gamble and Rob Beckett, stuck around to watch the show. And there were moments that were so funny. So funny. He, like, Dave Chappelle is like, there's a reason that he is...
Yeah, superstar.
He became a stand-up comic and that he has remained to be someone that people really enjoy. But there was quite a lot of anti-trans material.
Really?
Yeah. And there was some stuff that was a bit homophobic. And so I'll start the homophobia stuff first, because I don't want it to feel like I'm sweeping the trans stuff under the carpet, because I'm certainly not. So the homophobia was sort of weird in a way, because I know that I present as gay on purpose. I like looking gay. I don't, you know, I have no issue with it. And I have not felt in a long time of being so aware of how gay I look.
Oh, really?
Because it was quite gay. Moments of it being quite gay bashy.
Really?
Or just fags.
Did he say that?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Wow. I would have walked out, I think.
Well, yeah, I was.
I didn't stay for
the whole show. I did leave after a little while, actually. But there were moments where I was like, oh, I'm not. Why are you doing this material? You're so brilliant. Don't do this. You don't need to do this. Why are you so angry at gay people? And then he did some anti-trans stuff about like getting a massage from a female masseuse. The masseuse happened to be a trans woman, and him being like, "Oh, is that getting a massage from a man?" And you're like, "Well, no, it was just like it was so unthought through and so like." Lazily offensive, and I thought to myself, I'm feeling quite uncomfortable as a gay woman in this room. Like, he's not said anything specifically about gay women, but he's talked about gay men and he's talked about trans people, and I feel like those people are my people, and I just feel like, why is a room full of people laughing at this? This is out of order. And why is he so angry about trans people, for example? I was having a conversation with a friend. It just so happened that Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle's specials went on Netflix around the same time. And in Chris Rock's special, he has quite a lot of sort of anti-white stuff, a lot of stuff about how angry he is at a lot of white people in America. And I sort of watch that and I go, okay, well, I'm a white person and because of that, I have a sense of privilege in the world. I'm also cisgendered, which is, you know, I'm gay, but I live in a country that is... You know, I'm from privilege to a degree, you know, and I sort of watch him doing the stuff about being a black man and what it's like to keep being pulled over by the police, or what it's a black man to live in America, how many young black men have been shot, unarmed men have been shot by the police. And I sort of watch Chris Rock and I go, I understand where all that rage comes from. I understand you don't mean all white people. And I understand that there is something in your gut as a comic, as someone that is a social commentator that thinks, I have to talk about this.
Yeah.
I have to let the world know what my feelings are on this. And as a white person, I think it could be quite uncomfortable to watch that, but I think it's important.
Yeah.
Then I watched Chappelle's show live. I watched Chris Rock's show on Netflix, but I watched Chappelle's show live. And I was just sitting there, and all I could think is, why are you so angry at trans people?
Yeah.
Where does this rage come from?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, I get, like, you just end up going, like, why are you so angry about this?
Was he really angry?
Well, yeah, and also he's featured in, like, three specials, sort of material about what it means to be trans. And, like, so one of his big bits was about, you know, oh, if you're trans, like, what about if I thought that I was Chinese inside? Can I then walk around doing a Chinese accent? And you're like... You are such a bright man.
You have been
a flawless comedian for such a long time. You know that's not the same.
That's not the same.
That is such a cheap and easy way And I it was when he started doing some material about siding with Louis C.K. in the sexual allegation stuff. I was like, you know, and I wondered about bringing this up on the podcast because I thought, should I talk about this sort of thing? But then he's talking about it on stage. Yeah, so I'm not, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about him. I'm just sort of saying my reaction to, you know, what, because there were moments that were brilliant. But I just thought to myself, you know, I don't know if there was anyone trans in the room.
Yeah, that's it. Is that, you know, if you think if somebody was, you were there with your friend who's trans, that would be so
upsetting.
You'd be like, oh God, what are we at? What is this? You would, wouldn't you? Yeah,
it would be heartbreaking. And I left a little bit early because I was just like, yep, I get it. You are, or maybe used to be, one of the absolute best, but this negativity and this nastiness and the idea of not knowing where it's from, you know, I don't want people to think it's a lazy comparison that I'm using him and Chris Rock. It's just that it just so happened that I watched their two shows at a very similar time, and it's you know, you do understand when rage is coming for, like, you know, as Chris Rock would say, the white man, because, you know, the white man has done a lot of really bad stuff in history. There's, you know, don't get me wrong, it's not all men, but there has been some really, really bad ones, sure. But trans people, I'm just like, what is the rage? Yeah. Like, sure, they've had to go through enough shit. Like, because I found it hard enough realizing I was gay and coming out as a gay person. I can't even begin to understand how hard that realization is and coming out and having the bravery to deal with that.
Yeah.
How difficult that all is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I guess that was
interesting.
I don't know,
it's
sort of linked, isn't it? I don't know how I got onto that. But
I suppose it's that kind of what we were saying about people responding to Climax, your show on BBC Three, and sort of feeling an anger or a sort of perceived anger about, like, how dare this propaganda, as they call it.
Be
used by my
sorry, I'm pouring us drinks, as you can well hear. It's just a shame, isn't it? Because you go, I trick myself into thinking we're past all of that, but of course we're not. And I then went on stage that night, and I thought to myself, oh, there's potentially people in this room that think I shouldn't have marriage, and there shouldn't be gay adoption, and there shouldn't be...
Or it's almost like, stop making a fuss. That's the sense I've sometimes felt.
Yes.
It's like, stop making... That's in my experience.
Yeah. Like, why do you have to talk about being gay?
All right, so you've got it now, so shut up about it. And, you know, I suppose to a lot of straight people, they are... I don't know. Yeah, part of me is like, maybe a lot of straight people aren't having the easiest time. You know,
of course.
I think there's lots of people who are like, you know, deemed whatever. But actually, like, for a lot of particularly working class people, you know, it's hard to get through the day.
Absolutely.
But then even then, like, I always think, you know, kindness begets kindness. Like,
totally,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's funny, if you do a gig in a... This is a huge generalisation. If you do a charity gig in a somewhat poorer area,
yeah,
you know, deemed, you get a lot more in terms of, like, money in a bucket. You do it in a rich area, often absolutely the inverse is true. So I think,
yes,
you know, like,
so interesting, isn't it?
I don't know what, if that's completely connected, but you know.
But I do think that thing of, if you've had it a bit rough, you know what it might be like for somebody else to have it a bit rough. Therefore, maybe you're more willing to try and do something nice or do something kind.
Yeah.
Did you see that thing that Sarah Silverman did?
Where she started, like, treating her trolls with love.
So, yeah, it's like, yeah, it's brilliant. So if you haven't seen it, maybe listeners, maybe look up. It'll be on BuzzFeed or whatever, however you get your news. I'm not suggesting you get your news from BuzzFeed.
Please don't do that.
Like, you know, oh, this happened. Also, which Disney princess are you?
People in the Lewisham area found out about this great deal on funerals. Do you get those?
Yeah, it's great.
Great ones. Yeah.
Very
strange. Click on all of them, of course.
Of course. So someone tweeted something at Sarah Silverman. It was, like, pretty awful. Like, I think you should kill yourself. Like, something really bad, really nasty. And she tweeted back, I know that you don't mean that. I know that you've had something horrible happen to you, and I'm sorry for that.
No.
I'm sorry that you've had that happen. And he then got back to her and was like, I don't understand why you're being nice to me. But yeah, you're right. I have had this, and this really hard. And she said, I'm really sorry that you've had it really hard. I know that you're not really a nasty person.
Yeah.
I know that you're just in a bad place, and it's easier to take it out on someone like me because you think my life is really peachy. And then he was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have sent that to you.
Oh, wow.
I've been trying to sort myself out, but I can't. I've just been really depressed for a really long time. And then she put out this call being like, this guy, who I think is a really good guy underneath it all, needs some therapy and his insurance doesn't cover it. Does anyone in this area know the therapist? And basically people got back to them and he then started in a group therapy session like 2 days later.
Wow.
And that has come about because she was just like, no, I am going to choose extreme kindness.
Yeah. And actually I feel like in our age, that is what we need. That's what's frustrating to hear that was your experience at that show. Is that, and I think with a lot of things, it's like nothing good comes of hating on each other.
No. Like the first comment is, ooh, this is gross. Why would someone want to watch it?
Really?
And I was like, and I didn't even mean to look at the comments. I was trying to make the thing.
I haven't looked because I don't look at comments generally.
We all shouldn't, you know, but they should all be disabled.
They all should be prevented from being written. But I'm sure there were lots of positive ones there too.
Yeah, I think there were some, but it was overwhelmingly
because that's
more
experience
negative.
I often have is like on Twitter and stuff. Like when I was, it was an early start I had the other day, and the first thing I saw was this horrible Twitter comment that someone had put. And I'd had nice ones, but it was just like this one stuck with me. Somebody saying this is what I sometimes have a problem with. People say things like, "Or I didn't think he was funny," or he did was say that he was gay 25 times. I'm like, A, I definitely didn't do that. And B, I was making fun. I think the thing I was doing, I was making fun of the fact of the way people are perceived as it being a big deal.
Yeah, it's like, mate, you've missed the irony here, which is me making fun of the fact that people think that's what I talk about all the time.
And also, I feel like I have to talk about, if I walked out and didn't mention my sexuality, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is an ongoing battle for me and this is part of my journey, but I feel like at times it's very useful on stage to be like, I'm this, so you can just go, okay, right, that's what his frame is for the rest of the world.
Well, that's what I think. I always come out really early doors because also it means that no one can shout it at you. And I think it comes from playing the clubs.
Yeah, it does come from playing the clubs a bit. Yeah.
You know, I know that I'm gay.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell me that I'm gay. And I also need to mention that I'm gay so that I can explain to you this world I live in and what my perspective is. Also, I found that if I don't say, oh, I'm gay, my haircut's not an accident, or whatever my little line is about it, you know,
these handkerchiefs don't wear themselves.
For example, if I don't go out there and say it, and then I go, so I was on a date with my girlfriend. People then have a moment of going, oh, she is. Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
Also, you would never say that a straight male comedian or a straight female comedian, like if they go out and talk about dates,
yes,
you would never say, oh, they talk a lot about being straight.
Yeah.
They talk a lot about, oh, they live with their partner. They live with their boyfriend. They live with their girlfriend. They talk a lot about being straight.
I feel like I need to be like, I'm gay. This is what it's like being gay. Like giving examples of it. Because I suppose in some level I do feel a need like from childhood and from teenage years to be like, listen, you need to know this about me. Like you need to know this.
Yeah.
I don't know. And my therapist was like, are you apologising when you're saying that? And I was like, I don't think so. Because
no.
I'm just going, this is what I'm doing.
Me. Yeah, this is me.
This is me and I just want to talk about me in the way that I actually am.
Yeah, totally.
Not in the way that, not in a way that's like you say, leaving any doubt or, I don't want to leave any doubt because I want people to be like, okay, we get it. Right, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk. And then inevitably you talk about other things.
Yeah, of course.
But it still often is, I don't know, it's a useful insight. And I think our relationships do, the personal relationships we have, I think, are a big part of our identity as human beings.
Well, yeah, because it's how we react to the world, how we exist alongside other people. You know, our relationships are what we talk about on stage because that's what people, like, you know, I'm sure a straight couple can really identify with a breakup that I've had.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
hope so,
or,
yeah.
You know, because it's, the gender of the person has nothing to do with how my heart feels,
and I think, that's,
and all the anger that I have, like that doesn't, you know, love, you know,
yeah.
They just know what having a breakup is like. Having a relationship with my mother, the relationship I have with my mother is because of who me am. It's a good relationship, by the way, but it is because of the two women that we are in the world. My sexuality has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, but I mention my gayness because it also just, I feel like it just makes me, the audience go, Oh, yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's confirmed that thing that I thought about her.
And I also think that a lot of the time comedy, oh, like so many things, are about... I feel like we are living in an ever more, I want to say, faceless world of kind of like we're not actually confronted with that many kind of human beings who are sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes not sure what they're doing with their lives, sometimes very focused, sometimes having sex, sometimes not having sex. Do you know what I mean?
Completely agree.
We're not really presented with full-formed people at the moment.
Yes.
It just seems we're presented with a lot of fear and panic and unhappiness, I think.
Yeah,
and I suppose,
right.
I don't know, it was interesting, doing that gig I did on the Cutty Sark the other day, where we were all, there were several of us on the bill were gay, several of us were non-heterosexual.
LGBTQ+.
This is part of the thing we had to go through on stage. QIA+. I didn't know that.
QIA.
I thought they were an examining board to my maths GCSE with. But anyway.
So is that lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual?
I think it's transgender.
Transgender, sorry.
Queer. Intersex.
We're all intersex, am I right?
Right?
No, I'm so sorry, intersex.
And then A, not anal, asexual.
Asexual.
Plus, and then it's like anybody.
K.
But also, A, the what?
K, there's kink.
Is that a letter in there now?
Yeah.
So maybe that's at the moment incorporated
P?
In the... What's that?
For pansexual.
Pansexual?
Mm.
That sounds like an airline.
It's not.
No, I do know what pansexual is, I think.
Mm.
I think.
I think so too.
I mean, it's kind of funny that...
We don't know.
We don't know what it is. We're supposed to know. We didn't get the memo.
Yeah, can someone send out an email?
It was kind of nice to go through it on stage, and we were all as a group. Like, in the audience there were quite a lot of... I say queer just because I find it easier. But queer people there who we were able to talk it through and sort of laugh about that. And I think that's the heart of it, really. It's like, oh, well, I don't know, but I think it's this.
It's also fine. Like, we don't need to be so hot about it.
We live in a world, I think, when people are so... perceived as being so angry about it, or so like, you've got to get this right. And in reality, people are people. Like people go,
totally.
I don't know.
Or if someone makes a mistake in that sort of stuff around me, I would be like, oh, I don't really feel like that, but that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would prefer to be referred to as a queer, like one of my really good friends, Dom, she prefers to be referred to as queer, just because she does.
Yeah.
And I think that if someone... And if she said that to someone, they'd be like, yeah, fine, that's fine. And I guess I'm sort of the same as her. I identify more as queer.
I tend to go through it.
Than anything else.
Just because I like that sense of outsiderness that sort of feels like it's inherent in, like, queer theory, that idea of outsider.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of things. But, I just sort of think, like, that's for me, that's where, like, the good humankind lies. Like, it's not about the... It's not about the stressy, like, we've all got to say this now.
Yeah, of course.
Like, because no one behaves like that. But it's actually about someone going, I don't know. And sometimes I get like, if you do it with kindness,
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know how to... It's like if somebody is non-binary and they prefer...
Yes.
I have a friend at the moment who is transitioning, who is a trans man. And his Facebook updates at the moment... He is doing it all with so much kindness and love and being like, just reminding everyone,
nice.
I'd prefer they or them or he
nice.
And him.
Yeah.
And it's someone that I've known for years and years and years. Mm. And we're not super close friends, but we like to stay in touch and like to sort of reach out and say hello as and when.
Mm.
And I have found that he has been dealing with it in such a positive way of being like, hey guys, just a quick reminder.
Well, that's a lovely
this
way
is of how,
being with
and,
things,
he,
yeah.
and he's sort of tracking his... transition on Facebook and on his Instagram about sort of having testosterone injections how his face is changing. And it's, he has, and people are asking questions and he's answering and he's doing it all, he knows it's right for him. He's doing it all with so much love and he's hoping for compassion and he is hoping that he is looking out at the world going, I'm going to assume people are going to be compassionate about this moment that I'm going through in my life. And I think because of putting those vibes out, people are being, from what I've seen, and I really hope, and, you know, for him and for, you know, that, that he is dealing really well with it. Because on the surface, I know that we all lie a little bit on Facebook, but on the surface it seems that it is... Yeah. You know, people are being really compassionate. I think that's the thing. I think if you ask, if you say, I'm really sorry, I don't want to misgender you, or I don't want to say the wrong thing, or I don't want to upset you in any way, can you just tell me how you would prefer me to describe you? And I think that he would be thrilled if somebody said that.
Even took the trouble to ask.
Because then he'd go, oh, well, I probably prefer they or them. Yeah. Because that's easier. That's how I feel at the moment. But he or his is totally fine as well. Mm. Thank you for asking. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah, because that is, like we say, being a human being. Side way of exploring that, I think, is I remember when I came out to my dad, he talked about George Michael going on Parkinson after he was arrested in L.A.
Yeah.
When he was sort of entrapped by that. Oh, I probably can't say that.
Horrible.
But after he was, after that incident that happened in that public toilet, which his response was to write that amazing song about.
Such a great song.
But also, like...
And such a great video.
Such a great video.
And they're all in the toilet.
When I was in America, I nearly went to that toilet, but I didn't have time. But I really wanted to.
He was so hot in that video as well, in like a leather thing.
God,
like, so
such
handsome.
Such a handsome man. And he... But him going on Parkinson and going, oh, well, yeah, you know, I did it. It was probably a bit of a silly thing to do in a way, but that's who I am, and I did that. And I think that was a real watershed for a lot of people in the UK who were around at that time, a lot of our parents' generation, to go, he had the belief, the trust that people would come with him, I suppose, to go on it and go, this is who I am. And he presented himself as not somebody who's just sort of part of a group or part of a thing, or just an anonymous thing on a... I mean, there wasn't Twitter then, but not something like
totally,
that. But he's one of those, like, well, you know, that's who...
Yeah, I got caught, and it's probably a bit embarrassing, but that's who I am, and I am a gay man. And I think
people, human beings go, oh, that's a person, yeah, okay. I think it's hard to, when you come face-to-face with another human being, to go, you're disgusting.
Yeah, I think you do. And I think that is the thing I'm trying to... I'll be completely honest. It did get me down for a couple of days.
I had my Sunday morning ruined by one comment.
Yeah.
And I didn't respond to it because I didn't... I just don't think there's any point in
point in engaging. I mean, but I do
having done a whole podcast about it.
But I do think that thing of, like, extreme kindness, even when it's really hard.
Yeah.
I think
imagine
for your
how
own
shit their life
health,
is.
Yeah, totally. Like, and for someone to be, like, someone to take the time. Like, someone literally wrote, like, an article underneath one of the comments, which I think was then taken away by YouTube because it was so offensive.
God. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve, I mean, homophobes, come up with a new thing. Like, that is so fucking dated.
That's what they said, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, like, no one gives a fuck about,
I had,
like,
one where someone was saying about, like, how bring back the Nazis. It was really early on in my career. It was like, I was like in my mid-20s. I hadn't been out that long. Certainly hadn't been out that long on
stage.
And
they're like, oh, send them away.
It was like, oh, this guy, like, oh, leave. And he listed, like, some obscure Nazi and said how, with piano wire, I should be hanged up and stuff. And it was like, horrific.
That's also so brutal.
So brutal. But you have to go, like, and it was truly horrifying. I remember, like, looking at my own and not really knowing how to talk about it and being ashamed that someone had written that, so I must be rubbish. Not realising that, of course, everybody is having the same sort of thing all the time.
Yeah, and also it's all to do with them.
All to do with them.
But, yeah, this person, like, quoted Bible stuff and different things. And then another person put, I think the only choice for this country is for us to have Sharia law and get rid of the lot of them.
Oh,
and I was just like,
oh my God.
Guys, like, go for a walk. Go to the pictures.
Maybe phone a friend.
Phone a friend.
Talk to them about
have
it.
A bag of jelly babies.
Treat yourself.
Have, like, you know, do
be nice
something.
To yourself. Get a massage. That,
yeah, do something. And if you
burn,
you know,
some candles.
Just, like, try extreme kindness. And, like, I know that religion and homosexuality can be difficult, and I'm not a religious person at all. But I'm pretty sure in every religion, the first rule is love.
Yeah, that's what I always think. Like, all these people, like, bang on about traditional marriage, And then it's like, yeah, but what about the other stuff that they actually, like, really went on about? You don't seem to be too bothered about, like, sharing the, you know, making sure everybody's got enough to eat.
Or, you know, making sure that people have a roof over their head or, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, not judging people.
Yeah, it's the like whole not judging people. Bible. Like, you know, if someone slaps you on one cheek, offer them your other cheek. Like, all that stuff, it's like...
That gets brushed away, and it's like, yeah, but, you know, families, traditional families.
Yeah,
like,
it's just...
They never really said about that. 12 blokes and...
A prostitute.
And a prostitute living together in a house down the road.
I saw a great... there was a great bill... what they called, like, placard. A gay marriage rally in America before the bill had gone through, a guy holding it. I saw it on Instagram, and it was like... Jesus used to hang out with 11 ripped dudes and a prostitute. My life is more like his than yours.
Oh, that's perfect. Perfect.
But it is that thing of, like, I'm sure extreme love and extreme kindness
is an easier
way to deal with it.
Oh, my God. And it is. And it's so, like, and the more we do it and the more we feel empowered to do it, the more it gives other people the inspiration to do it, I do think. And
that's
like, not like, I mean, I'm not saying, like, necessarily it's just just us, but of course it is. But you know, like, the more I see people who are like, hey, well, some people like that, but most people are great. That was what was really nice on that Cutty Sark gig, was that it was just lovely group of people in the audience, lovely group of people on stage. We're all having such a nice time. And it was after that tweet I'd got that morning, which had sort of really played on my mind. And I was like, oh, it's stupid, doesn't matter. That stuff is so online. You know, online, it's not real.
No.
Do you know what I mean? It's just there. The truth is, people meeting people is the most important bit.
People who need people.
And there again, it comes back to Barbara Streisand. Every bloody time.
Well, that brings us to the end of our podcast this week.
That brings us to the end.
I don't know if there was many laughs in it this week. Does that matter?
Oh, fuck them.
You know, maybe this one. No. Maybe you didn't laugh, but maybe you loved a little bit, you know?
I think there might be some laughs. I mean...
Tom, I was messing around.
You're right, it did cross my mind at one point. I thought, But...
I tell you what, if you want to laugh, come to a show.
Good advice, Suze. Great advice.
Well, Tom is touring the country with his wonderful show, which I've seen a number of times now and always laughed my bloody ass off.
Susie.
All details are at tomindeed.com. You can catch him on Twitter, on Instagram. But don't send anything pricky, because you know how we feel about it.
You know how upset I get. Even though I don't act like I do.
And then I am also on tour.
She's on tour. She's adding extra dates. She's coming to Soho Theatre in London. You've got to go and see her. She's coming to the main centres.
I am coming to the main centres.
Including Portsmouth, her hometown.
Portsmouth, Reading, Salford, Coventry, Birmingham, Nottingham. And maybe a couple of others, but all details are at susieruffle.com.
Brighton. You've got to see her. It's a great show. It was raved about in Edinburgh. It's going huge. Things are going huge. So so please go and see Susie. If you want to come and see me, why not?
And you should. Otherwise, and, you know, thank you.
Susie, have you got a new ring?
I do have. I'm wearing a garnet.
Now you tell me.
Got it in Sri Lanka. Beautiful, isn't it?
Really nice.
Real beautiful.
Interesting finger. What does that mean?
The
pointy finger. Sorry? Index finger. The index finger.
Index finger on my left hand. I don't know. I just thought it looked pretty there.
No, it's unusual. I like it.
Thank you.
I don't wear any rings. I don't know anything about them. You do. It's a lovely ring.
Thank you.
Title of my autobiography. There's a laugh.
There's a laugh.
There, see?
If you want to get in touch with us.
Yeah, get in touch.
Chat to likemindedfriends@gmail.com.
Not spam.
And... thanks for listening.
Thank you.
If anyone's been a prick to you this week, you know.
Don't worry about it.
People are pricks to us all the time.
People are pricks. Some people are pricks.
But most people aren't.
And my dad would say, you can't please all the people all the time. But that's sort of slightly on a side issue. But
yeah, you can't please all the people all the time.
Oh, and he would say, the world takes your own valuation. So.
That's good.
You know, don't let anybody else drag that value down.
Yep.
We love talking to you. We look forward to talking to you again in a little while. But for now,
okay,
bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle. a stand-up comedian, and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day, and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook, and audio.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's C-O-T-A.com. Good luck to all the runners.